I'm Effie Parks. Welcome to Once Upon a Jane, the podcast. This is a place I created for us to connect and share the stories of our not-so-typical lives. Raising kids who are born with rare genetic syndromes and other types of disabilities can feel pretty isolating. What I know for sure is that when we can hear the triumphs and challenges from others who get it, we can find a lot more laughter, a lot more hope, and feel a lot less alone. I believe there are some magical healing powers that can happen for all of us through sharing our stories, and I'll take all the help I can get.
Once Upon a Jane is proud to be part of Bloodstream Media. Living in a family affected by rare and chronic illness can be isolating, and sometimes the best medicine is connecting to the voices of people who share your experience. This is why Bloodstream Media produces podcasts, blogs, and other forms of content for patients, families, and clinicians impacted by rare and chronic diseases. Visit bloodstreammedia.com to learn more.
Hi there, and welcome to the show. This is Once Upon a Jane, and I'm your host, Effie Parks. I hope you can hear me okay. I am in Montana for spring break, and they don't have the World Wide Web in Montana, so I'm holding up this transistor radio, and I'm standing on the top of my parents' roof. So I hope this message is getting to you. I have such a great episode for you today, but before you listen to this, put it on your list or go back and make sure you check out episode 244 right before this with our friend Amber Freed from SLC 6A1, where we're talking about the importance of ICD-10 codes, which is an internationally accepted diagnostic code used to describe and track our rare diseases. Super important. So go check out the episode. There's a call to action. There's an editable template for you to send off to your state representatives. So please go check that episode out. Okay, today, I think I found one of my new favorite couples. You're gonna love them. They are so full of energy and passion, and I was glowing when I was talking to them because they made me so happy. Husband and wife, advocates and pioneers who have really just transformed this personal journey of having a beautiful child who was diagnosed with epilepsy at just 7 months old. And they took off on a quest to create supportive and inclusive environments for kids with disabilities. So they founded a school, they founded an amazing inclusive living community, and they also founded the Epilepsies Action Network. They are a force, and their voice is so important, and they have taken it to Capitol Hill. They're not only shaping right at home living for families and taking care of their loved ones, but policy as well. So I hope you learn so much and get so jazzed by this episode. They're incredible, and you're going to learn a lot today. So please enjoy my conversation with Jillian and Scott Copeland. Hi, Jillian and Scott. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. So we were connected by our friend Eileen over at the Rare Epilepsy Network, and she sent me a big old list of all of the magical things that you're doing. And I was like, excuse me? What time is it? Are they eating? I'm really looking forward to digging in and sharing some of the resources that you have so kindly built. So can I please just get a brief introduction of the two of you and a little bit about your family?
Sure. So I'm Jillian. This is my husband, Scott. Thank you again for having us. Well, let's see. Our story really starts 30 years ago. But since then, we have four sons. And we are here mainly to talk about our third son, Nickel, who's about to turn 25. When Nickel was 8 months old, he had a very long, prolonged seizure over 2 hours. And it started, a different type of parenting journey for us and a different type of maybe even seeing community through a different lens, maybe through Nickel's lens. Since then, we've embarked on, raising our kids together, obviously, and exploring opportunities and possibilities for Nickel over the years. And it's, led us to lots of different paths that I think we're going to talk about today.
Surrounded by a bunch of stinky boys, Jillian. Well
done. Yes. You know what? They're actually not stinky. Well, maybe one. I think I'm more stinky than they are, truthfully. Honey, would you agree?
She loves all the boys.
Cute. How about you, Scott?
A similar path. In my profession, I'm an affordable housing developer, a real estate developer. And which has helped us along the way, actually, with some of the projects that we've been working on of late. But yeah, it's been a very interesting journey with Nicholas over the years. It's given our family, certainly me, and I think I speak for Jillian, a lot of meaning and purpose and seeing the world through a completely different way than perhaps I expected to when we were having our third son. But it has been an amazing journey. He's a light for us and for our entire family, our extended family. He's having a 25th birthday party with friends and family that may number in the hundreds. I don't even know how many people are going to come. He has been our inspiration and our motivation for a lot of things that we do, and really a foundation of our family, and our other three boys have embraced that, and their partners have embraced it, and you know, we feel blessed that he is in our lives and has allowed us to see things a little differently. So it's been very special.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. I love Nicole's name, and I hope to see pictures from this birthday bash. That sounds
fair enough, but we can make that happen.
Cool. So I remember when Eileen mentioned you, she said that Nicole has had extensive genetic testing, and at 25, still, there's no underlying answer for anything of what has caused his severe epilepsy. How have the two of you managed to sort of to navigate this uncertainty and like maintain such positivity and strength throughout it all?
That's a great question. Well, I would start with that Nicole's the lead here. He's the model, and we follow his example. And he will have a terrible seizure, and he'll have to be medicated, and he'll feel awful after, and he'll go to sleep. And the next day, he wakes up with joy and sunshine, usually. And he's the lead for us. We've had to manage a lot of things over time. For me, maybe more so than Scott, fear is a big one. You know, maybe some. Lots of worries over time. And again, just taking Nicole's lead, the I can do attitude, the sky's the limit. And I think that really is how we feel, that we don't have the power, the control to change lots of things that we wish we could, but we do have a choice in the way that we see it and how we live our life. And we're going to live to the fullest and share the love that we can and feel the love that we can. And, you know, that's how we live life. And it's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we very early on, by the way, we came to terms with the things that were just not in our control. And we're both very controlling people, by the way. it was not an easy reconciliation. But I think when we kind of got our heads around that there's just certain things, and Nicholas too, by the way, he, you know, has developmental delays along with this, but he understands that there are just things that we cannot control, and that you just have to work around them. And I think that he has really been an amazing model. And honestly, I think that, you know, he shares a lot of love and a lot of joy. But I think that the people that really know him, friends and family that really, really, really understand him and know him, you know, have a great appreciation for that, that he's just come to terms with the fact that there are things that he cannot control, and but he's going to keep going. And so it has been a great inspiration for us and for the people around him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the most special things to watch, right, is sort of the difference that it makes in other people.
Yeah.
I connect so deeply with what you said about choice and how we can choose to move through this if we really want to look at the big picture. So I love that you said that.
I think you just doing this podcast is a choice, and it's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome.
Thank you. You know, Eileen called you both disruptors, which I'm going to have to disagree with her on. I would say that this is like some magical change maker. Instead, we're going to talk about three really profound things that you have worked on in Nicole's honor, and one of which is a school. I'm probably not going to pronounce it correctly. Diener,
yep.
So tell us a little bit about that, and maybe Nicole's experiences and needs that influenced the founding of the school.
So I guess when Nicole was six, he attended a school, which is a great school for a lot of kids. It wasn't particularly the best fit for him. And, you know, one day I was coming home from the school and frustrated and you know, maybe coming to terms with, or, you know, acceptance around, hey, this isn't going to work for him. And I'm not sure there is anything out there that really will. And I called Scott and said, you know what, it's time, we need to start a school. So luckily, you know, we're privileged, we're smart. I'm an educator by trade. And we got it together in a couple months. We found some really great partners, professionals to help us. And we started the Diener School in 2007. Nickel was 7 at the time. He attended the school and I ran the school for the first 6 years and cried a lot. It was not an easy venture to take on. And Scott was incredible and, you know, probably the quieter one, but did almost as much work as I did to balance everything, especially the financial parts, and just a support to listen to me, which was really needed and helpful. And I think, you know, Nickel, what he needed, which was what a lot of kids needed and still do, is a more of a holistic education where educators are collaborative, where there are built-in therapeutic supports and interventions during your school day. What I had found was, you know, pull them out of school and then take them to OT and PT and speech, and nobody really talked with each other. And I wondered, like, how is he skill building and applying these skills if nobody's working on the same things, if nobody's talking to each other, if we don't have mutual goals for him? And so that's what this school is about. It's a multi-sensory experiential approach with very talented educators and therapists, including behaviorists, you know, boots on the ground people working not only with the kids, but also with each other. And that really is the game changer. There are elements of the connection between movement and learning and social thinking and all of these really, really essential, needed curricula and needed strategies to use for kids that, you know, don't learn traditionally and learn through the senses. So we are seeing some really amazing things at the school. We are moving into our own building. For the first time, we'll have a capacity of 120 students. We currently have 75 with 37 educators. And it's a really neat place. And I believe what it did for Nickel was it gave him this very strong foundation on which to build. It allowed him to like who he is and understand areas of need and also really appreciate and feel good about areas where he shines. And that really is what the school did for him. It gave him this childhood, much like our others, that it was a self-esteem builder. And hey, you know, how do I think about my learning? Being metacognitive, how do I think about my thinking? And it really turned out to be a beautiful thing. Our kid is quite social. He's quite skilled. And I'm not sure if he would have gotten to this place without that type of foundation.
Talk about dreaming big. I feel like that's one of those things that us as families kind of lie awake at night and worry about, right, is our kids' education and experience at school. And something else you said that really struck me was it made him like himself. I love that so much. So tell us, like, where the school is and how families qualify to attend it. And, like, is this funded solely through, like, a family business, or do you have, like, state programs?
We are not a funded program, which means that we don't receive money from the state or the county. It is private pay, which is very difficult, which is why we have a large amount of financial aid going to people who cannot afford to come. We chose to do this purposely because we wanted to maintain the quality of education. And oftentimes I have seen over the years that when you are a program that is funded, you're spending a lot of your time not with your students, but on paperwork and on things that, in my opinion, just don't matter. They're not going to benefit the student. So that is why we chose to not accept any money, state or county money. So it is expensive, but it's probably very similar to other private and independent schools in the area, but you're getting a whole lot more just even by the ratio of teacher to student, you know, even and with all the other, you know, amazing kind of programs and therapists that are involved in this, you know, small little school. We currently have 75 students and we're hoping to have 120 next year. And it's, you know, an application online at thedienerschool.org. And I can't tell you about the qualifications because I am not there day to day. So I don't know exactly what they're looking for in a student anymore. But I'm sure if you are looking out, if you're out there looking for a school or an amazing environment for your child that learns differently, definitely take a look and see if it's an opportunity for you.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I'm like, how do I pack up and move over there and get Ford in school? Yeah,
it's pretty fantastic. And we really had researched, you know, physically, virtually all over the country to see what was out there. We could have, you know, we could have moved anywhere, and we couldn't really find anything that was out there like this. And I'm sure there are more schools out there now, but there's nothing local that even touches Diener.
There's nothing that I've ever heard of that remotely touches even this brief description of it. No, I bet it feels like just family at some point, you know, and not necessarily a school with pupils and educators. I bet it's pretty close knit. Do you have off the top of your head by chance, like a favorite story from something amazing happening there with the students?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll think about it.
You got to have a ton of stories. My goodness.
I mean, it just sounds like a wonderland.
Well, while she's thinking about the story, I'll share with you that recently we ran into some of Nicholas's classmates that, you know, are now also 25, 24, 26, whatever. And just watching their journey through the educational process, some of them gone to college and they're out in the workforce. I think one went back to be a volunteer teacher, a substitute teacher at Diener, and just watching that kind of growth. And that's when the school had, you know, 12, 14, 18 students. And so it's been an amazing thing to watch over, honey, how many years has it been? 15?
17.
17 years. So it's really kind of cool to watch. It's been really neat.
Wow. My cheeks hurt. I'm smiling so much. I love that.
I'm not sure I have a really like a favorite story, but there is one that sticks out that in our second year of Diener, the first year we started with 5 students, we ended with 11. The second year we started with 26, the third 31, the fourth 40. So we gradually increased. But in the second year, we had a young man, I think he was in third or fourth grade, and you know, he was slightly socially awkward and he came in, he was shy and worried and he spent the day, and afterwards, at the end of the day, when anybody would visit, they would spend a little in the afternoon with the admissions person, just to sort of recap and regroup. And Lois is our amazing admissions director, just filled with heart. And we happened to share an office at the time. And I'm listening to her, and she asks this young man, you know, he wasn't a young man, he was a boy. She asks him, you know, how was your experience? And he just looked at her square in the eye, and he said, I finally found my people. And I think that's one of my favorites, that you belong and everybody needs a place to belong.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. That's so, so special. Thank you for sharing it. So you two are like, okay, let's solve one of the biggest problems we have as parents who have kids with medical issues and disabilities at school. And then let's solve the even bigger one that keeps all of us up at night for our entire lives, which is what do we do when they're grown up, and what do we do to prepare them for the future when maybe we aren't going to outlast them? So you built something else called
Main Street.
Main Street. Okay, tell us about Main Street.
When Jillian ended her tenure as the head of school at Diener, we took a little break, and you know, I don't know, a year later, a year and a half later, she came in one day and said, we have to build a housing project. So there's a kind of constant theme that ran through this. And so after a long period of research, I mean, years of sort of uncovering what was out in the marketplace. And again, I mean, almost internationally, but certainly nationally, you know, Jillian really came up with a model that was what Main Street became. It's a 70 unit building in Rockville, which is a city in Maryland. And 25% of the units are set aside for individuals with disabilities. And 75% of the units are affordable, meaning that it's serving households that earn 60% or less, often case 50% or even 30% of the area of median income. And more importantly is on the ground floor is about 10,000 square feet of community space. And then the secret sauce of everything is Jillian and her team in the nonprofit that runs, you know, countless programs and opportunities for everybody. It's an inclusive environment, so it's not set aside for anybody. It's available for everybody, and it's really, you know, kind of, you know, in a nutshell, it's a place. It's a continuation of Diener in a way, but it's really a place for people to, you know, find their happy, to really you know, be a part of a community and to belong. And it's basically has become our fifth child in a lot of ways. It is a very, very, very special place. And, you know, the stuff that the building is fantastic, that was kind of the easy part, but the everyday just is really moving needles and changing people's lives and giving opportunities. And it's great. It's really a magical place. And I know Jillian could go on and on about it, and I hope she will. But that's a kind of background for us starting it.
Yeah, I mean, all of us families talk about it all the time of making a compound for our kids, right?
Yeah,
This school and this living community definitely sounds either like a beautiful dream come true or science fiction. I gotta tell you, because nobody. What are some of the obstacles in creating more initiatives like this? Like, how can we make this bigger? How can we make more of these?
Yeah, that's a great question. The obstacle's money, for sure. And how we can make more, we're working on that. At Main Street, we do a couple things. Scott mentioned the living and our community center space. We are, you know, we are an apartment building, and we are a community center membership-based community. And although anybody can join anytime, you don't have to be a member, but members get priorities and discounts and, you know, whatnot. And we have about 250 members that come and join us for activities and different tiers of membership. But I think what's important to note about Main Street is that it's not just there. The ground floor, that the community center, the programs of and around education, learning, movement, connection, stimulation, engagement, all of these things are for everybody of all ages, stages, and abilities, not just for residents of Main Street. When Scott and I sat down and we, you know, sort of back of the envelope, that's a term he often uses, said, you know, what's pie in the sky? What do people need? You know, I've interviewed 80 adults with disabilities and their families to ask them, how do they want to live? What do they need to make their life richer, more meaningful, more connected? And that's how we shaped the spaces at Main Street. That's how we designed the building mainly. So there are 250 plus members who come in and out, some daily, some weekly, some monthly, some quarterly, that join us for engagement, but only 40 people out of the 250 actually live at Main Street. So I think that's really important to note, that our pillars of Main Street are, whether it's programming, whether it's housing, you know, you're living there. Our pillars are inclusivity, accessibility, and affordability. And quite frankly, you can't have inclusivity without the other two. You know, that's how I feel, and very strongly about that too. So we do the living very well. You know, we have about 58 people that live at Main Street who have self-identified, or the parents have identified them as having a disability, out of about 105, 110 people in the building. So it's a little more than half. We have 250 members that come in and out. Part of our programming and community engagement, we offer 10 to 12 weekly programs, everything from cardio dance party to Zumba to baking classes to get social, working on social skills. I mean, we have, again, everything for any passion, purpose, interest, meaning, whatever you want. We are bringing all different kinds of people together to talk about all different kinds of subject. We talk about the intersection between race and disability. We talk about, you know, the workforce development and what that looks like. We talk about communications and marketing and accessibility in our communications and marketing. So we provide a lot of different subjects and topics for a lot of different people, which is really amazing. And the third part of what we do, and this is a long answer to your very short question, but the third part of what we do is education and advocacy. And that is because we understand this is really, really difficult to do. And so we have to advocate for more affordable housing with a disability narrative, so that affordable housing is built, but there are set asides and designated spaces for designated housing for people with disabilities. Most people with disabilities do not live independently because of the barriers, which are affordability and accessibility. And that is just shameful. I think it's shameful. And, you know, not giving people an opportunity to live a life of choice and independence is just something in this day and age that just shouldn't be there. It's pretty disgraceful, in my opinion. So part of our job is not just providing opportunities for people to live independently with choice, providing community engagement, but also this education and advocacy around the staggering numbers of people with disabilities and other issues, mental health issues as well, that are looking for inclusivity, affordability, and accessibility. And so we're doing that in many different ways. We work with inclusive housers around the country. We work locally with inclusive housers in Maryland, DC, and Virginia. We're really trying to go to our, lobby our politicians to say, hey, we need some more of this. We're going to state, local, and federal people to say, this is the data that we've collected at Main Street. We know that our residences that live at Main Street, that we are improving the quality of their life. It is a statistical significant difference from before they moved to Main Street to after they moved to Main Street. Their lives are improved. They are enjoying life. They like their community that they're living in. They feel healthier. They feel more connected. And so do our members, by the way. So it isn't just about independent living. A big part of this is feeling this wraparound community engagement and support. And I'm just going to top it off with one more thing, which is Main Street is the first around the country to offer this type of living. And the reason is because we have a mantra it's called BYOI is the acronym, Bring Your Own Independence. And that means whether you get an apartment in Main Street and you live there, or you haven't got an apartment, or you don't want to live, there. You want to live somewhere else, but you want to join us for programming and community engagement. Then you bring your own independence with you. And that may mean that you bring a mother, a sister, a caregiver, a brother, whatever, or it may be something physical that you need to help you access our programs. You bring that with you. We don't provide any one-to-one supports at Main Street. We have a huge staff of nine. We run amazing programs. But if you need that extra additional support to achieve independence, you bring that with you. And this mantra kind of came by chance. A parent brought it to us. And now that it's happening, our parents, including Scott and I, are seeing our children rise to a level that we never, ever thought they could rise to, at least for us, at a young age of 25. Our son is living independently, and some of that is because he comes down. He feels safe. There's a sense of community efficacy. People know his name. There is a place where he belongs. And all of these things are, not only determinants of health, but they're just really essential in people living a quality life.
Oh my gosh, you just filled my cup, seriously. I feel like I just went to church. Preach, Jillian. Wow. I think this is really going to spark a lot of people to stand up and help and see how they can make a difference in this area. And I'm really just mystified as to how you've accomplished it, and just a little speechless, really.
Well, I'm very bossy. And so that's how we've accomplished. I have a hugely talented and very efficient husband, even though he hates when I talk about him, but it's true. And so I think, we built a task force of people, local people who were very engaged. And we said to them, look, I mean, most of them, I think 19 out of 20 of them had a kid with a disability. And that just, it just makes you fierce, right? Sadly, but it does. And we sat down with them and said, look, we want to do this, but we need all of you. We need your families, your friends, your colleagues, your voices. We all have to do this together. And that's how it happens. It's organic.
Amen. Who's in charge of making a TV show / a documentary out of Wonderland Main Street
here? How about you? Why don't you bring it, Effie?
My friend Daniel DeFabio from the Disorder Channel, sort of close to you. I feel like we need to send him and get some footage of this.
All right, bring it on, Daniel.
I mean, what if the world could see this, right? Because they don't know about this.
And by the way, Effie, the world should see this, and I'll tell you why, because it's not about disabilities and it's about connection. It's about kindness. It's about dignity and respect. And if you build places like this, we will have a kinder, softer, more dignified community. And we wouldn't have all the shit that's going on here right now in the world. We really wouldn't.
Amen. Oh my gosh, I have chills on my body.
Yeah. Usually I do that to people in a very bad way.
I was gonna say, that's a good thing.
Oh yes, trust me. We all know the other side of a rare parent.
Yes, we do.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And here's our third thing. Yes, there is a third thing. Tell us about you founded something called the Epilepsies Action Network. Tell us about that.
The Epilepsies Action Network is another group of very committed mothers and me that came together. Actually, a group of people that had been very close in the epilepsy space for a long time had sort of a kitchen cabinet discussion about what would we do if we had the ability to get more funding from the federal government or from other sources? You know, what is it that we can do in research, development, and, you know, patient care and family care and all these things that you know, dramatically impact people, individuals with an epilepsy, and it's epilepsies, plural, because as you are well aware, now there are you know, many, many rare forms of epilepsy. And so again, in an inclusive nature, we're trying to bring this relatively fractured, getting better, but sort of fractured community together with a singular voice in a lobbying the federal government to provide more funds for the epilepsies. And, you know, epilepsy impacts 1 in 26. That's the number. I would argue it's probably much higher than that, candidly. 500,000 of the 3.5 million or 3.4 million people that have epilepsy are children. And it's an underfunded disease. The economic impact is enormous. $50 billion a year, I think, is a $58 billion, some number that is astronomical. And unfortunately, there hasn't been, you know, great breakthroughs. There have been, you know, some advancements in medication and research, et cetera, but we have a long, long way to go. And so the opportunity was to, again, get the community together, hit Congress up for our fair share. I think that may be where Eileen, you know, referenced the word disruptor. We want to look at that as a positive, sort of rattle the cage a little bit and get a little more attention. And in the couple of years that it's been in, it's pretty slow moving because you're dealing with Congress. But we've had some huge successes. We have a caucus both in the House of Representatives and on the Senate side, which matters quite a bit because you have champions now, elected officials that are champions of the cause. We just learned yesterday that in the bill that was, you know, finally passed, that language that we had asked for was actually put into the HHS side of things, the Health and Human Services side of the budget, which we are very excited about. We have a great plan looking forward for the next couple of years that hopefully we can really, really move a needle and get a national plan for the epilepsies that, you know, again, incorporate all segments and get a little bit more direction and assistance with some federal funding that I think can really, really move the needle. And people need it. And it's our time. You know, now's the time. It's our turn. And we need to make some stuff happen. And I think we will.
You got that right. I think my mother-in-law is going to be very intrigued by this part of the show. She's worked in policy her whole life, so I'll make sure she checks it out because maybe she can help you.
Yes, we would love it. Effie, I'm going to give you the quick down and dirty lowdown of how this really got started because Scott won't. So Eileen, the fabulous and talented Eileen Miller, who really is moving this train forward and is brilliant, she was at a party with us, and some might say she got my husband drunk and took advantage of him. Because on the way home in the car, Scott says to me, uh-oh, I don't know what I got myself into with Eileen. And I said, I do. So, and Eileen called me the next week, like, guess what? I think this might happen. So that was a really beautiful thing. But the truth is that, you know, we've been living with epilepsy for almost 25 years now. And I mean, my voice might crack because, you know, as you know, and many other listeners who either have epilepsy or have a child with or a sibling with epilepsy or a family member with epilepsy, it's some hard stuff. And the unpredictability and the You know, for us, you know, Nickel requires medication to get him out of a seizure, which means someone always has to be with him because he can't medicate himself. And, you know, the brain surgery and the visits to the doctors and the meds. I mean, we're on 5 anti-seizure meds and many others, too, just to balance the mind. And, you know, it's a difficult thing. And, you know, again, we choose to look at this as a beautiful life experience, but it's a hard experience for him. And oftentimes for us too. And so, you know, Nickel is really the crux of, you know, a lot of the things we do. And I'm so grateful to Eileen for knowing the landscape of epilepsy and knowing that there are all these amazing players in this space. They're brilliant, brilliant and talented minds. But if you don't have a collective voice and you don't collaborate and you're not unified, look, it's just like why I started the Diener School, then we are not moving this train forward in the way that we need to. And we looked at, you know, other organizations, ALS and Alzheimer's and MS, and we thought like, okay, these are neurological diseases that are impacting lots of people. And boy, do they deserve to get their share because they're all terrible diseases. But epilepsy isn't getting much. And we think it's our time. And we think it's time where all of these brilliant and talented people and organizations that do so much good work make a commitment to move this forward together. And we believe, and look, many representatives in Congress told us, you guys need a collective voice. You know, you're not going to get anything until you do. So we are just an additive. The Epilepsy Action Network is an additive. We hope that we can move the needle and bring awareness and make some really positive changes. So you know what, like, I don't have to worry about my kid waking up every morning, you know? And all the children out there, they're being diagnosed with epilepsy, you know, maybe they have a chance of a real future. And that's our goal.
Well, thanks to Eileen for letting everyone know how they can take advantage of Scott if they have a big idea. I mean, really,
that's not too
really
hard,
important.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a good thing to know. And you know what? I also will say that, you know, I'm not in the political space, but we've learned so much about, we've been on Capitol Hill, we've had briefings and stories and meetings with other task force members who are on the Epilepsy Action Network task force with us, and hearing other voices and building these caucuses and having so many people really listen and care and showing compassion. I mean, it's really a beautiful thing. We've built relationships with so many different agencies, because I think what people forget too is like epilepsy impacts everyone across all ages and stages and backgrounds and socioeconomic, you know, places. And so, you know, we need to build trust amongst people. We need people to hear the stories. And, you know, we have some really big goals, but we're on our way there and we're really excited about it. So if one thing people, listeners, can take away, I mean, of course, you got to go to mainstreetconnect.org and the DienerSchool.org and the EpilepsiesActionNetwork.org. I'm assuming that's the website. I don't even know. But what we really want people to do is, you know, contact your local representatives and let them know that you or your child or a family member, or you care about this issue, and you want them on this epilepsy caucus.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, you know, the most enlightening things for me personally anyway, is that this is a bipartisan issue. As Jillian said, the epilepsies impact everybody, but the support that we are getting at Congress and from staff members and others, It's on both sides. It's Democrats and the Republicans. And it's a really nice thing to see that there is everybody's nodding favorably. It's slow and it's not going to happen overnight, but there's this kind of connectivity that gives you a hope within a hope that there is some commonalities amongst all of us that when we all come together, we can solve really, really big problems. And look, the easy part on Congress is giving money, because that's just giving money. From there, all the clinicians and the researchers and the caregivers, that's where the national plan for the epilepsies really starts and really starts to move the needle for not just here in this country, but around the world. So, but it's been a really wonderful thing to see everybody kind of coming together and nodding favorably that yeah, we need to make a difference and we together can do it. So it's been a nice experience so far. It's really
it's time.
Amen.
It is time. It is time to jump on board this train because we are moving.
Yep. Amen. Yep. Yeah.
We are gonna make a difference.
And really, really smart too to just take advantage of the playbook, right? From Parkinson's and ALS and 100%. Alzheimer's, right? It's the only way it's gonna get across the finish line. And people telling their stories about the level of this chronic stress and vigilance that one, the whole entire family lives, like you said, under these circumstances. When you mentioned encouraging people to write their congressmen and their state representatives, do you happen to have like a print off like template people can use from your website where they can plug in their own name and state and not have to think
you
about
know what?
Writing
we
it?
We will now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that is a great idea.
I mean, right? Like, don't you think you could get 100% more input from families if they didn't have to do the work?
Yeah.
And if they could just be 100%. Like, boom, 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 right. Send it off.
Yeah. Yep. And guess what? I imagine the first second that Eileen Miller listens to this, it's already going to happen.
Awesome. Okay. Printable PDF coming soon. Hopefully we'll have a link in the show notes by then.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. And yeah, it will make a big difference for sure.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate all this policy work. It's hard for me to stomach bureaucracy, but I know how important it is. And I really appreciate it because I know it's like moving at a glacial pace, but it is so important that we all get loud and work together around this. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess like give me some advice for families, you know, who are facing similar challenges, who feel like there's no way I can do anything. There's no way I can even like get up in the morning and not even just completely be surrounded by caregiving duties. Like, how can those people who are sort of in the trenches, who feel a little hopeless and maybe don't even have an idea either of what's causing their loved ones epilepsy, like what advice would you give that family?
I don't know that I have advice necessarily to give. I think I would just want them to know that we see them and we hear them and we feel their pain and that there are people out there that, you know, want to help you through and that are praying for you. And I hope they feel the love and I hope they feel the hope, because I think we all need hope, especially those in the trenches that are doing this day to day, this really hard work, a real labor of love. And we are going to do this. So it may take a bit, but see the light and feel the hope and feel the love.
How about you, Scott?
Love, hope, stay positive, you know, try to see beyond the moment in that, you know, there will be a brighter day, even though some days are dark. They are, but they are not alone. And, you know, we're all there for each other to kind of to work our way through these kinds of things.
I love so much of what both of you answered in the quote unquote advice, because you really relayed profound small things that bring immense relief to families who are going through it. So thank you. Okay, anything that you're excited about for the near future / how can people show up and contribute?
You know, I think what I'm most hopeful in the near term, and even look, things at Main Street are fantastic and it's going great, and we're exploring doing some other, you know, some others potentially, and that's exciting. I think on the Epilepsies Action Network, I'm really, really excited about the team that we've built already. We have some great professionals that are guiding us through this advocacy stuff. And I'm excited about the team that is to come, because people are joining and really putting their money where their mouths are, their expertise where their mouths are, and it matters. I am really, really excited about that. And I don't know, maybe it's because it's spring and things are blooming. I'm looking out the window right now at a tree in our front yard that's looks great. So, you know, I'm very hopeful about that, the things that are to come in the epilepsies work. So excited about that. I guess that's what I'm most excited about coming up.
Awesome. Well, I'm obsessed with both of you and I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for everything that you've done.
Thank you, Effie. And we're so grateful to be we're so grateful to have our voices shared, and we're so grateful that you share so many voices, and we love listening. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and congratulations on all the success. It's really impactful. It really matters. So keep it up.
Y'all.
It's good stuff.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, cheers to 5 o'clock.
Thank you. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for everything.
Bye-bye.
I hope you've been enjoying this podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this show with your people, and please make sure to rate and review it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head over to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to connect with me and stay updated on the show. If you're interested in sharing your story, or if you have anything you would like to contribute, please submit it to my website at effieparks.com. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for supporting me along the way. I appreciate y'all so much.
I don't know what kind of day you're having, but if you need a little pick-me-up, Ford's got you. Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh